Amen. All right, I invite you to take your Bibles with me this morning to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to take a little bit of a break from our series right now. Jeremiah chapter 17. So I was doing some study on this. There's a lot of times we know and are familiar with terms in the Bible, but do we really know what they mean? So Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, we're going to look at the heart of the matter here today. And I'm thankful for some of these new apps that they have. Makes it a little easier when you're trying to find out how many times something is mentioned in the Bible. You don't have to, you get your big Strongs out and go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now you punch in the word and it pulls up how many occurrences are in the King James Bible. 765 times in the King James Bible. I don't know about the modern Bibles. I didn't do a comparison. But 765 times in the King James Bible, the term heart is used. I want for us to consider that here this morning. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, is one of our introductory passages here. It says here in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Notice here, the heart is deceitful. Our world tells us today, to follow your heart. Follow your heart. That's dumb advice. Because your heart will lie to you in many cases. Notice it says here, the heart is deceitful. Notice it's above all things. But not only that, but it's also desperately wicked. Who can know it? Notice again, the heart is described as deceitful and desperately wicked. But notice here, the Lord, in essence as a doctor, searches the heart. He tries the rein. He tries the inner man, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. With that also, notice with me Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 and 13. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. In fact, let's look at a little context. Verse 10 here. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has our good in mind. He wants us to arrive at that good that he has planned for us. Verse 12, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Notice verse 13, it says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with what? All of your heart. I want you to notice here, God says to Israel as they're heading into captivity, God says, if you will search for me, with all of your heart, I'll be found of you. And I want you to consider here some other passages as we look at what's involved with the heart. First of all, Luke chapter 1, I want for us to consider, according to what the Bible says, what do we mean by the heart? Put your heart into it. We might tell somebody, put your heart into what you do. I want you to consider here, first of all, Luke chapter 1. Again, as we look at some elements of aspects of the heart, Luke chapter 1, verse 51. Luke chapter 1, verse 51. It says here in Luke 1, verse 51, it says, and of course, this is Mary praying here, my soul doth magnify the Lord, verse 46. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. So again, we see another term here, spirit and heart. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Now let me ask you, where do imaginations take place? All right, we often think in our mind, right? But once you consider here, the imaginations here speaks of a part of the heart. Also verse 66. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? I'm sorry, what verse did I say? Luke chapter 1, verse 66. Oh yes, it says, all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with them. Again, we're talking about thinking in the heart. Consider also Luke chapter 2 and verse 35. Luke chapter 2 and verse 35. And there's several references to the heart here in Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 35. talking here about Mary here in relation to what she was going to experience as she sees Jesus hanging on the cross. Yes, sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. Notice again the thoughts taking place in the heart. Also chapter 5, verse 22. Luke chapter 5 and verse 22. Luke chapter 5 and verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your, notice this, in your hearts. Now we often again think of the mind, the brain. Now it's part of it, but I want you to consider here, even the Bible even says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we're talking about our thoughts in our mind. So the heart obviously includes our imagination, our thoughts, our thinking process. Notice also Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Again, I'm laying a foundation here for us to understand what the heart is. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Again, talking about here the last days as calamities are coming upon this world during the tribulation period. Notice, upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. All of these things taking place in the world. Notice in verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So not only do we have thoughts in our heart, but we also have emotions. Also it says in Luke chapter 24, another reference to the heart here, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 30. As the disciples are talking and reflecting on their walk on the road to Emmaus as they're talking to the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 24, verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now let me ask you. How long has it been since you've had good heartburn? I'm not talking about because of what you ate. How long has it been since you've had good heartburn because of what the scriptures have to say? Notice here what Jesus does. Jesus just simply goes through the Old Testament scriptures and shares all the truth about him, what he was to experience, dying on the cross, rising again, and so on. And it says, as they heard these scriptures, notice their heart was burning within them. I want you to consider here as far as the imaginations. Back in Genesis chapter 6, you don't need to turn there. But it says, every imagination of the heart was only evil continually. Now, I don't think we're quite to that point yet or God would be destroying this world. That's before the flood. But I want you to consider here, we're more and more heading that direction once again because Jesus even said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Things are going to get worse and worse and worse so that the only thing they think in their heart is wickedness. Again, those are the days we're living in. But imaginations, thinking, our reasoning ability, fear, emotions. So I want you to consider the heart involves thoughts and emotions. I want you to notice with me 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Again, I want for us to consider here searching for the Lord with all of our hearts. All right, so we could say, well, I'm thinking about the Lord. All right, that's part of your heart. Others would say, I get so emotional about my... Or so are you thinking about God? So it's thoughts and emotions. I want you to consider, if we're going to search for the Lord with all of our heart, we have to put thoughts and emotions into our search for the Lord. Notice here it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and following, as Paul is addressing here the church at Corinth, as he had sent them a letter, and he was concerned about their response, but it says, but I determined this with myself, that it would not come again to you in heaviness. So now he's talking about following up with this letter that he sent to the church at Corinth. For if I made you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them whom I ought of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Notice what Paul is talking about here. He speaks of anguish and sorrow and joy and tears. All of these things are from the heart. Affliction, much affliction and anguish of heart. I want you to consider here when somebody has, for example, a broken relationship. They'll talk about their heart being broken. Now, I want you to consider here, understanding what the heart is all about. We're not talking about the physical heart. The reason why we, I believe, refer to the heart as our emotions and all that, relating to the physical heart. By the way, our spiritual heart is not here. Our spiritual heart is here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So once you consider, we're not talking about, you know, heart surgery and heart attacks and all of those things with our physical heart. There's a distinction. But as you think about the importance of that, we don't talk about, actually sometimes we talk about our gut feeling. That's not the same as the heart. Putting thought and emotions into our relationship with the Lord. Are we searching for him, I should say, with all of our heart? Another reference here to this heart here, Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Now, Paul also deals with the conscience here. And I believe the conscience is related to the spirit, even as the book of Proverbs says. It says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He describes Israelites here. I want you to consider, though, how many of us have that kind of anguish for somebody that we've been praying to be saved? I'm not sure I've ever gotten to the point where I'd say, Lord, I'd be willing to be accursed from Christ if they would be saved. You realize if he was accursed from Christ, what happens? He'd be willing to go to hell if it meant Israel being saved. I want you to consider here, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, I want you to consider here as far as a relationship with God, searching for God. If we're searching for him with all of our heart, first of all, putting thoughts into it. The problem is, so many people only have thoughts. They have intellectual consent about what they believe about God. Others emphasize emotions rather than the thoughts. You know, they'll constantly be going to the front, they'll constantly be at the altar and weeping and in tears. You know, there's nothing wrong with those, but I want you to consider here, God's not asking for just one of those things. He's asking for it all. Searching for the Lord with all of our heart. Again, the thoughts and the emotions. Again, I want you to consider here as far as Christianity is concerned in the heart. Christianity is not a blind faith. It's not an intellectual pursuit. Here's why I believe many people who make a quote-unquote a profession of faith, they're not truly saved because it's all intellectual. Christianity is not an intellectual pursuit. I want you to consider her contrast with evolution. Evolution is not based on fact. In fact, you sit down and talk to somebody and you present the evidence to them, they'll argue with you, whatever. They don't want to hear the facts. I want you to consider here, evolution is a blind faith. Christianity is not. Christianity is not something that would say, well, I think you're out there. You're the Bible says you're out there. So I'm going to take this leap in the dark and hope you're there. That's not Christianity. Christianity is based on truth. It's based on, again, this intellectual aspect. But Christianity is not just an intellectual pursuit. But you notice here several references to the heart in Exodus. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. I want you to consider here, especially us as men, many times we'll put our heart into our jobs and our careers. Sometimes we just endure them. But I want you to consider here, even as far as doing a work for the Lord. I don't preach, I don't teach, I want you to consider here, there's examples in the Old Testament here in relation to the producing of the tabernacle and all that. I want you to consider that the heart was to be put into this matter. Notice it says in Exodus 31, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. To devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and brass and cutting of stones, to set them, and carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. Now, what you consider here, he's putting his heart, we're going to see this in a moment here, he's putting his heart into creating this tabernacle, building this tabernacle. It says in verse 6, and I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Notice here, God puts in their hearts to do these things. They're putting their heart into the work of the Lord. Now let me ask you, when you serve the Lord and perform your ministries, do you put your heart into it? That's one of the things that always has concerned me over the years as pastor and just as a person of the church. There are times when I will hear, especially I was concerned about this when I would hear about it in relation to Sunday school teachers for our children. People who would spend a few minutes on Saturday night reading down through the Sunday school lesson and they step in the classroom. And that's all the preparation they ever put into their class. I want you to consider, if we have a ministry, we should put our hearts into it. You notice here, again, this is talking about building a tabernacle. You know, I'm thankful that Tina puts her heart into making sure this church is clean. We're the beneficiaries of that. I'm thankful for the men that put their hearts into the finances of the church, caring for the matters of this. I want you to consider, we're putting our hearts into their service for the Lord. Also, chapter 35. I see another reference to this. Chapter 35 and verse 5. Do we put our hearts into serving the Lord, or are we just going through the motions? Exodus 35 and verse 5. Verse 34 says, Moses spake unto the congregation of Israel, children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you offering and offering of the Lord unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. Why don't you notice another aspect of the heart? It's not just our imagination, our thinking process, our reasoning. It's not just our emotions, but it's also our will. I want you to consider, I'm just doing what I have to. Are we willing? Are we willingly giving to the Lord? You know, as we give, well, God commands 10%, so I'll put it in. Or are we giving out of a willing heart? Notice we're putting our heart into giving to the Lord. It says in also verse 35 of this of chapter 35, them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work, of the engraver and the cunning workman and the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and fine linen, of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. Chapter 36, verse 1. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man. So it wasn't just these two men, but notice these others were wise-hearted, in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up, notice, come unto the work to do it. Notice, their hearts were stirred. Their heart was going into, their heart was into the work of the Lord. Again, the Bible says we are to search for the Lord with all of our hearts. Now let me ask you, somebody who occasionally comes to church, are they searching for the Lord with all of their heart? Oh yeah, Christmas and Easter, I'm going out of my duty. They're only going through the motions. They're not searching for the Lord with all of their heart. So let me ask you also, are we searching for the Lord with all of our hearts? You know, we used to hear more about having our private devotions or quiet time with the Lord. I want you to consider, if we're hit and miss, as the term is, on our time with God, are we searching for the Lord with all of our heart? All right, so are we putting our intellect into it? Our thoughts? How many times have you been reading the Bible? It's like, what did I just read? You know, I have all these distractions. I've got work, and I've got all these burdens, all these responsibilities. Again, if we're going to search for the Lord with all of our heart, we're going to put our thoughts into what we're reading. We're going to put our thoughts into our prayer life. Not only that, but we're also going to put some emotion into it. Are these just words on a page that we read? Or do we emotionally enter into the situation? That's why in the Old Testament, I like reading some of these examples. And I like to imagine, if I was there, what would I feel? I want you to consider, there's a lot of people who overemphasize feelings. Well, I feel, well, I think. Who cares what you think? What does the Bible say? They put an emphasis on that, but they're not searching for the Lord with all of their heart. Again, I want you to consider here this mental energy that we put into our work and our career, the care of the home and financial decisions. We put so much energy into those things. Are we putting mental and emotional energy into the Lord and searching for the Lord with all of the heart? Notice Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 3, it says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth of milk and honey. O hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Now let me ask you, how can we love other people if we're loving God with all of our heart? I want you to consider, as our love relationship with the Lord increases, our ability to love people also increases. That's why Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all of your heart, all your soul, all your might. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way. I want you to consider looking for a teachable moment. Notice, not just having family devotions, though that's important, but notice here throughout the day, you're looking for opportunities to relate the word of God to your children. And when they're walking by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, thou shalt bind from them for a sign upon thine hand, and shall be as frontlets in thy eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Fill your house with scripture. But notice again, it has to be in your heart first before you ever diligently share it with your children. Also, 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. How are we, again, in our service for the Lord? 1 Samuel chapter 12. Israel made a bad decision. I really believe that. Because they decided they wanted to be like the other nations and having a king. Notice here Samuel is now dealing with them in relation to their heart then. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not." Again, they are confessing their sins in the verses just before this. Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord." But notice this, serve the Lord with all your heart. All right, so we've seen our thoughts, our emotions, our will. "And turn ye not aside, for then ye should go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if he shall still do wickedly, he shall be consumed, both ye and your king." Notice here again, serving the Lord with all of our heart. Now, as far as the will, I want you to notice with me Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Again, we're looking at a lot of scripture because I want for us to understand the full aspect of the heart here this morning so we understand what God is expecting out of us when we search for him with all of our heart, when we serve the Lord with all of our heart. Acts chapter 4, notice verse 31. Let me see. I'm on the wrong chapter. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Notice they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." Notice here this one heart and one soul as far as the church is concerned. Also chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, verse 22. Acts chapter 5 and verse 22. Acts chapter 5, verse 22. I think I have wrote down the reference wrong. Notice it says, verse 22, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut up with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. And when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted whereunto this would grow. Anyway, I think I wrote down the wrong reference. So let's move on to the next one. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I haven't done that for a while. So that was a good scripture, but it wasn't what I was looking for. I want you to consider again the purpose of the will and the heart in serving the Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. The context here, it talks about the walking in the newness of life and the sanctified life that we should live. It says here in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Pause there just a moment. I believe what Paul is emphasizing here is the members of this body, the members of our body should be presented to the Lord as instruments of righteousness. Again, I'm not supposed to use my hands. I'm not supposed to use my eyes. I'm not supposed to use members of this body to do sin, to constantly live in sin. Again, we're to live a sanctified life. What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin. Notice in the past ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Again, obeying from the heart. And then also in chapter 10, he talks about his heart's desire. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, his heart's desire. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, I often refer to the 1, 2, 3, repeat a prayer after me. I want you to consider here the challenge, the problem, the difficulty with that type of philosophy or practice in leading somebody to the Lord. Also, you have a few Romans road verses that you share in, 2 minutes maybe at max. You share all these Romans road verses and then you manipulate them into kneeling at their couch. You kneel with me so I can pray. And again, these are all tactics that they use. I believe these are salesman tactics. And so as they get down to pray, I'm going to get down to pray too. So after the quote-unquote soul winner says a prayer, prays, will you repeat this prayer after me? I want you to consider they might have considered some of the intellectual aspects of what they were just told, but their heart is not in it. In fact, I've heard of situations where I'll pray and get them out of here. And immediately after they pray, does this mean I have to go to church now? I want you to consider they may have heard words. They might have even had some intellectual assent to what they heard. But is their heart and their will in it? Notice again, searching for the Lord with all of our... I'm not saying that nobody can be saved if they're repeating a prayer. But are they saying a prayer that somebody else is praying, or are they praying the prayer for themselves from their heart? With that said, notice Romans chapter 10, later on, as Paul talks here about this, says in verse 9, Romans 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, thy mouth the Lord Jesus, now that does not mean confessing your sin. That's repentance. Notice what he says here, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. How do we know that Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus was already saved? What wilt thou have me to do, Lord? Paul says elsewhere, no man can call the Lord, Lord, except by the Spirit. Notice he was already saved. In fact, Ananias even called him brother Saul. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, recognizing that Jesus Christ is the exalted Lord. Again, death, burial, and resurrection, the exaltation of the Lord Jesus. But notice this, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Often what I hear soul winners do is they'll go to verse 13 and leave those verses out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, so they repeat this prayer. That's why they justify the repeating of this prayer. You're calling on the Lord to save you. But let me ask you, do they believe from the heart? What have we seen? The heart is included. It includes what? The thoughts, our emotions, and our will. I want you to consider believing with the heart. After there's belief in the heart, notice, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But notice it goes on in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But again, I want you to consider here the importance of faith. The importance of the heart in believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we've been looking at the book of Exodus, it says that God hardened Pharaoh's what? Hardened his heart. This is the dangerous point as far as the heart is concerned. I want you to consider, depending on what we put our heart into, God can take that and actually harden a person's heart. Also it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. But I think of young people who grow up in church, Bible preaching church, and they hear all of these things. For example, I think of a young person who might grow up understanding and believing, or hearing at least, that alcohol will wreck and ruin your life, that God is against alcohol. But then they get out there and have their first job. Hey, you want to go to a bar with us and have a drink? You're 21 now. Oh, they sat in church and hearing all kinds of things preached, and their parents have probably even taught them. But when they get out on their own, I want you to consider that if they've not been searching for the Lord with all of their heart, then what happens? Oh yeah, I'll participate. I'll join in. How many of you have heard of the name Steve Currington? Steve Currington is the founder of Reformers Unanimous, Rockford, Illinois. He grew up in church, a Bible preaching church. He went to a Christian school. He was going to work for a few months to save money for Bible college, to be a preacher. Well, he started going to parties with the guys at work. Ended up spending 10 years in drugs and alcohol addiction. As soon as he started turning the Lord, after he about lost his life in an accident, he put his whole heart into serving the Lord. Put his whole heart in pleasing the Lord. He put his whole heart into his relationship with God. It was then that God used him in a mighty way, but again, he lost 10 years of his life. He lost 10 years of his life. I want you to consider here that many young people will go to the world because they didn't put all of their heart into it. Young people, I want to ask you, are you serving the Lord with all of your heart, or are you just doing it because your parents expect it? Well, I have no choice about being in church. My parents expect me to go. So when you get out on your own, will you still be in church? I want you to consider, is it your heart or is it your parents' heart that's making you? Are you serving the Lord with all of your heart? I think of people. I can think of many examples over the years. People were serving the Lord. Oh, they were diligent in their service for the Lord. For whatever reason, you know, job, various things, they'd be out of church more and more. Increasingly, they'd be out of church. Busy making money. You know, they have these opportunities. I want you to consider, they weren't serving the Lord with all of their heart. Are we putting our whole heart in serving the Lord? Proverbs 3:5 says we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. So let me ask you, what does that mean? What have we said? There's three aspects of the heart, right? Our thoughts. So that means we consciously are thinking about, I'm trusting what God is going to do in my life. What else is involved with the heart? Our emotions. I'm not just going through the motions. I'm going to put emotion into trusting God with all of my heart. and my will. I'm going to willingly do what God asks. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word keep means to stand guard. I'm going to guard my heart diligently. Why? Because if I allow some things in my heart, notice, even it says, out of the heart are the issues of life. The issue is you will follow your heart. The problem is we will follow our heart, but what have we already seen? Our heart is deceitful above all things. That self-deception will lead us, oh yeah, this sounds like a good thing. What does God say? Keep thy heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As we tie this up, I want you to consider the relation of the soul and the spirit with the heart. I believe our soul is our spiritual and rational and immoral substance of man. In essence, it's our personality. It's what we'll continue living on after we die. Our soul. Notice also the spirit. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's our conscience. The spirit is what enables me to have a relationship with God. Consider our heart, all the heart, our mental, emotion, and our will. We stand with you here this morning. Are we searching for God with all of our heart? Or are we just going through the motions? Are we serving Him with all of our heart? You know, an altar is good unless it's all emotion. That's one of the challenges with revivals, special meetings. The evangelist comes in and the evangelist stirs hearts. That's good for about a week. In many cases, that's good for about a week. God says, you have a responsibility to search me for me with all of your heart. Let's sing.